Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Shad here, your host for this weekend edition. Also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Please go back through our website, listen to all our market commentary, daily editorials, as well as company updates. And please, as always, keep in touch with Shad and I through email. We love hearing from each and every one of you on your thoughts on the markets and your thoughts on our guests and the companies we feature throughout the week. On this weekend show, we're going to start off by recapping the Fed meeting, some of the market reaction, and quite frankly, the continued rise in U.S. markets. Then we're going to shift our focus a little bit more into the commodities and energy for the back half of the show. We're kicking off the show with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website. Now, Joel, the big story of the week were central bank meetings, mostly the Fed. And look, the Fed came out with a pause that they were pretty much telling everybody about, but they really tried to drive home the fact that this could just be a skip of a meeting. This was more of a hawkish pause. A lot of people are looking at the dot plot, which is now saying, look, there could be two more small rate hikes this year and no rate cuts on the forecast. Joel, what was your takeaway from this so-called hawkish pause by the Fed?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. I missed you last week. You know, I think you got to set up the week with the CPI and the PPI. Market was priced to perfection. Market delivered, right, with the numbers for both the CPI and the PPI with inflation coming down. As far as the meeting goes on Wednesday, I think the initial reaction was, they got the pause, but they might go a half next time or two more quarters. That initially hit the market, so that was a hawkish part. But the dovish part really came during his testimony, and that was, you can observe what the market did after that. Inflation's under control. We may be coming near an end. So that lit a fire under the market, and in a week where you don't have many catalysts, when the catalysts come out positive, you see how the market reacts, especially in a quad-witch expiration week.
Well, Joel, it seems like the markets have been quite robust. And yeah, they had quite a week, got off to a good start. And it seems like you had mentioned to us off mic, it's almost like they're in a Goldilocks zone, and that it seems like everything the market's throwing at, all the things the economy's throwing at the markets, they're still surging higher. So what's your general takeaway? Can we continue to see this trend? Is money coming in off the sidelines? Are people now just getting the memo that, hey, this rally is on and it's for real?
I mean, it all depends. There's a lot of different opinions. Your promo bulls will give you different time periods where they think that the market really became a little bit legitimate bull market or another uptrend. I think you have to look back to a little over a week ago. I think you got to look back on June 6th. That was actually a Tuesday. And IWM's took off. Everyone's been complaining about the breadth of the market. It went from 179.5 to 184.5 on that day. That said, hey, it's just not going to be the mega cap. We're going to get full participation. And that's what you need. Those complaining about the breadth, you got the small caps participating. They've continued higher. So, you know, it's everything. I mean, look at the way gold turned around yesterday. Look at the way the bonds turned around yesterday. Even Bitcoin turned around yesterday. You're getting to a point where you're getting participation in all the assets. When that, in all the different sectors, when that starts to happen, it's hard to stop the momentum going in that one direction. So you had benign data everyone was looking for. You finally got the broader participation to what you were looking for. And then the mega caps, I mean, even got NVIDIA and ripping again today, you know, despite you thinking that how high can it go? Well, it could go higher than you think. Meta blasting off too. Broad participation, that's what market participants wanted. That's what they're getting.
Yeah, Joel, to your point, just this month, the S&P is up about 6%, NASDAQ about 6.5%, the Dow up 5.5%. It is seemingly just getting more and more investors chasing that momentum higher. We even have the VIX down at multi-year lows, pre-pandemic lows. Are investors getting a little too complacent? And I ask that by also saying it's not like the bond market is sold off. They're also putting money into bonds. So how do you view that balance?
It's just momentum. I mean, just, you know, looking for the laggards, looking for what hasn't gone yet, looking at the growth stocks. I mean, yeah, the managers are a big bad, you know, recession. Unless you drive by the McDonald's drive-thru or you look through all the help wanted signs. And the other thing, you know, the eyeball test I talk about a lot on, you know, during these interviews. What do you have making a new all-time high today? What sector would be hurt the most by rising interest rates? The housing market. You got Lennar making a new all-time high. What about, did you see the cruise lines this week? Shame on me for fading that move earlier in the week. J.P. Morgan upgraded Carnival Cruise Lines. It jumped from 13 to 14. I'm thinking there's no way that move's going to hold. It hit over $16 today. People are building houses. People are traveling. People are flying. People are buying things. So, I mean, the talk of the recession, and I hope I've been clear enough on the show over the last couple of years. I just didn't see the recession. It wasn't popping up in front of my eyes as I drive through my neighborhoods, as I drive through, you know, different areas of Michigan. Where's the recession? I went to Utah last week. Airports jammed. I mean, either people are racking up a hell of a lot of credit card debt and they're not going to be able to pay it, or this economy's still humming, the U.S. economy.
Yeah, Joel, it is startling, the strength of the consumer, because we've heard for a year or two that the consumer should be out of money, but they're out there spending money on everything. I guess another question I have that relates to this is, during the banking crisis a couple months back, a lot of people pulled money out of banks and rotated it over into the high-yielding treasuries. And a lot of people for years were not really getting paid to save. We always talked about good old Tina. There is no alternative, and now there is an alternative. But I've heard a couple of people over the last week or two on financial shows and even in my personal life say they're using their money market account like a storage tank so they can pop in and out of the market, go in and make a trade and then pull it back out and put it in there. Do you think the whole process of people pulling money out of their savings or checking, putting it in money markets, is having them speculate a little bit more in the recent past?
Man, I don't know if people are that nimble, but I think that there's a certain level of comfort for the average investor, if you have some of your money earning, you know, 4 or 5% in a, you know, in a supposedly declining, you know, state of inflation. So I think if, you know, if you have a comfort with that, you know, some of your assets say, hey, I'm getting 5% here, then maybe it leads to a little bit more speculation. As far as them trading in and out, you know, I don't know how nimble people are with that. But I think that if you have that comfort level with at least a portion of your portfolio that you're getting 5% on, then you might be, you tend to take more speculative bets with other part of it, because it's not like you're earning zero on the other parts.
Yeah, that is true. But I feel like there's almost been a generational shift here over these last few decades where people weren't getting a whole lot of yield or getting anything on their savings. And quite frankly, the markets turned into their savings account. And then we had the big pandemic drop and then the big pandemic rise right after. And now it's almost like people are still almost programmed to put their money into maybe some of these ETFs, these market, broad market followers. And even though we heard so much about the weak breadth, I don't know if it really resonated with a whole lot of people, because they're just not stock pickers out there, right? They're buying broad averages. They're buying index funds. And quite frankly, when they start seeing them go higher, they put more money into them. Do you think we have seen a bit of a shift just in mentality for investors, even though they can still get some savings or some yield on their savings?
Yeah, I mean, it's a momentum market. And you just mentioned it, you know, momentum on the ups, there you had the momentum on the downside. COVID, you had the rebound, you had the big correction in 2022. Earnings, you know, at least for the last quarter, you know, seem to support some of these higher valuations. It really, it's just a momentum market. And when the momentum gets swinging in one direction, it's really hard to turn back. It's FOMO. You don't want to miss out. What's the laggard? What can I get into? So, you know, it's just that mentality. And until, you know, what's going to knock us off our keister? I mean, Powell's making testimony next week. Who knows what he's going to say? Really, through our Q1 earnings season, without many blemishes, no Fed meetings to worry about. People are worried about, okay, well, I'm not going to invest because China may attack Taiwan. Meanwhile, you got Bill Gates going over there cozying up to Xi. So I don't know if you could do that. The Ukraine war, it's just all these things. The market has overcome all these different obstacles and all this different pessimism. You get the momentum. Like I say, you get the momentum going to one side. It's hard to turn it back the other.
Well, Joel, speaking of momentum and investors kind of changing their playbooks, one space we wanted to discuss is how the cryptoverse is set up. And traditionally, it was being traded like a tech stock. It was tracking the NASDAQ. And you made some points to us that it has kind of decoupled over the recent past. But I'd love to get your thoughts on how is the cryptoverse setting up? Are investors changing their mentality? Is it still trading like a tech stock? Is it its own asset class? What's your make of it?
Since April 19th, you've had about a 20% decrease in Bitcoin, while you've had a corresponding close to 15% increase in the NASDAQ, the triple Qs, whatever you like to file. That happens to coincide with a very interesting time here. That happens to coincide with the banking crisis, right? So what you had is you had people pulling money, you know, out. I mean, exactly at that time, I mean, almost to the date, you had people pulling money out of the financial sector and putting it into assets like Bitcoin. Now that that's subsided now, I mean, it's a big historical deviation. Now that the banking crisis, I won't, you know, who could say it's officially over, but now that there's some stability in this sector, perhaps the money came out of Bitcoin or went into Bitcoin, came out of the Bitcoin and went back into the financials. Well, you know what? There's nothing sexy about the financials. There's no AI in financials, so who knows? Maybe you'll get a reversion to the mean, and you'll get Bitcoin acting more like it did, more like its historical patterns have been, and that's moving with tech stocks.
Wasn't Bitcoin being used more as a safe haven, as you said? But I guess in the way, so were some of the big tech stocks, but now we're seeing that tech stocks can also benefit from just a bullish market. Bitcoin was more trading a little bit with gold, wasn't it? Where when people got worried about the banking crisis, then it really moved. But that seems to have not dropped off the radar, but even gold and Bitcoin have both just generally crept lower.
Buy everything market. That's what you saw yesterday on the turn. Buy bonds, buy gold, buy everything in sight. And Bitcoin was included. Another thing that you have to look at Bitcoin is there's been some pretty negative catalysts thrown at it over the last couple of weeks with the SEC, two exchanges not allowing you to pull money out. And when things only go down a certain point on a negative catalyst, you have to wonder if, in fact, there's true buyers out there. So you don't hear me talking bullish about Bitcoin too much, but if the NASDAQ and the tech stocks continue higher, I think it will start to participate in the rally.
Well, Joel, you did mention that the market breadth has improved, and we have seen everything from the small caps to even the financials starting to come back a little bit. Are there any sectors or stocks that you think are a dark horse coming from behind that people aren't noticing there's some good relative strength in?
Your pigs, stuff that hasn't gone yet. I mean, you look at some of these growth stocks, ARKK, you know, Robinhood, just things that have Zoom, you know, these things that just haven't left the station. I mean, a lot of these tech stocks are too hot to handle. You know, still also, if you're looking at it on a relative comparison basis, you know, Google's still quite a ways from all-time high. Amazon's still a ways from all-time high. I mean, if you take that this market's going to continue towards those directions, those are stocks to own. You know, you just have to stay away from any, you know, like anything that is just, had a run when they were when they were last year during the bear market. You know, it's full risk on. And if you could find something that hasn't left the station yet, you could find identifiable tradable low to lean on. I think that's where people are going to be putting their money. It's hard to chase Apple at an all-time high. We've seen what happens when it gets to those. You see what's happening to Microsoft. So I would say the big tech that hasn't got back up to its all-time highs and whatever stuff that's still scraping along the bottom that, you know, could get, you know, some analyst love or, you know, something along those lines. And I just want to mention one stock as far as, you know, the analyst love. And the opposite, SoFi, what an amazing run that stock had. It doubled, nearly doubled since the end of May, gets over $10. Oppenheimer comes out, downgrades it yesterday, right? Takes the stock off its keister. The two other analysts come out and take their profits today with that downgrade. So I think with the lack of other catalysts, economic data and or earnings, I think you got to look to the analysts, you know, we're coming out. They get going one way, you know, on the upside or downside. I think that they're actually going to have a time here where there's not other major things going on to have an effect on stocks.
All right, Joel, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on this market. And look, you are right. It's a momentum play, and the momentum is to the upside now that it seems like almost every broad average is at 52-week highs and still a ways to go back up to those all-time highs. But man, oh man, there's a lot of other stocks now making runs higher. Joel, thank you again for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll chat next week.
Okay, thank you, guys. Always great to chat with you.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.